Deutsches Hygienemuseum Dresden. If I say to myself in the world, I am a Jew, then I mean that those realities and possibilities are summed up in an Auschwitz number.
Statutes of the German Hygiene Museum Association, Verein Deutsches Hygienemuseum e.V., June 14, 1935. The museum shall work in close cooperation with the organizations of the party, the authorities, the German medical profession, and the German labor front to awaken understanding both at home and abroad for the NSDAP's demographic policy program and thus for that of the National Socialist State, and to educate as broad a section of the populace as possible.
From the essay by Jean Emery, On the Necessity and the Impossibility of Being a Jew. If today discomfort arises in me when a Jew takes it for granted, legitimately, that I am part of community, then it is not because I don't want to be a Jew, but only because I cannot be one. And yet, I must be one. And I do not merely submit to this necessity, but expressly claim it as part of my person. The necessity and impossibility of being a Jew, that is what causes me indistinct pain. It is with this necessity, this impossibility, this oppression, this inability that I must deal here. First of all, concerning the impossibility. If being a Jew means sharing a religious creed with other Jews, participating in Jewish cultural and family tradition, cultivating a Jewish national ideal, then I find myself in a hopeless situation. I don't believe in the God of Israel. I know very little about Jewish culture. I see myself as a boy at Christmas plodding through a snow-covered village to midnight mass. I don't see myself in a synagogue.
Nucleic acid was first described in 1869 by the Swiss physician Friedrich Miescher. It was only in 1929 that Phoebus Levine recognized that nucleic acid is made up of deoxyribose, phosphoric acid products, and the four organic bases adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. In 1944, Oswald Avery, Colin McLeod, and Macklin McCarty succeeded in proving that nucleic acids are the storehouses of genetic information. The structure of DNA was first described in 1953 by the US-American James Watson and the Briton Francis Crick in their famous article Molecular Structure of Nucleic Acids, a structure for deoxyribose nucleic acid.
If being a Jew implies having a cultural heritage or religious ties, then I was not one, and I can never become one. Certainly, it could be argued that a heritage can be acquired, ties established, and that therefore to be a Jew could be a matter of voluntary decision. Who would possibly prevent me from learning the Hebrew language, from reading Jewish history and tales, and from participating, even without belief, in Jewish ritual, which is both religious and national? Well supplied with all the requisite knowledge of Jewish culture from the prophets to Martin Buber, I could emigrate to Israel and call myself Yohanan. I have the freedom to choose to be a Jew, and this freedom is my very personal and universally human privilege. That is what I'm assured of. But do I really have it? I don't believe so. Would Yohanan, the proud bearer of a new self-acquired identity, be made immune on the 24th December by his supposedly thorough knowledge of Hasidism against thoughts of a Christmas tree with gilded nuts? Would the upright Israeli, conversing fluently in Hebrew, be able so completely to obliterate the white-stockinged youth who once took such pains to speak a local dialect? In modern literature, the switch of identity is quite a stimulating game, but in my case it is a challenge that one meets with no certainty of success, in one's human totality, without the chance of an interim solution, and would, it seems to me, be wholly predestined to fail. One can re-establish the link with a tradition that one has lost, but one cannot freely invent it for oneself. That is the problem. Since I was not a Jew, I am not one. And since I am not one, I won't be able to become one.
It has not escaped our notice that the specific pairing we have postulated immediately suggests a possible copying mechanism for the genetic material. It has not escaped our notice that the specific pairing we have postulated immediately suggests a possible copying mechanism for the genetic material.
Thus I am not permitted to be a Jew. But since all the same I must be one, and since this compulsion excludes all the possibilities that might allow me to be something other than a Jew, can I not find myself at all? Must I acquiesce without a past, as a shadow of the universal abstract, which does not exist, and take refuge in the empty phrase that I am simply a human being? But patience, we haven't reached that point yet. Since the necessity exists, and how compelling it is, perhaps the impossibility can be resolved. After all, one wants to live without hiding, as I did when I was in the underground, and without dissolving into the abstract. A human being, certainly, who would not want to be one? But you are a human being only if you are a German, a Frenchman, a Christian, a member of whatever identifiable social group. I must be a Jew, and will be one, with or without religion, within or outside a tradition, whether Jean, Hans, or Johannan. It didn't begin when. It didn't begin until 1935, when I was sitting over a newspaper in a Vienna coffee house and was studying the Nuremberg laws, which had just been enacted across the border in Germany. I needed only to skim them, and already I could perceive that they apply to me. Society, concretized in the National Socialist German state, which the world recognized absolutely as the legitimate representative of the German people, had just made me formally and beyond any question a Jew. Or rather, it had given a new dimension to what I had already known earlier, but which at the time was of no great consequence to me, namely, that I was a Jew. What sort of new dimension? Not one that was immediately fathomable. After I had read the Nuremberg laws, I was no more Jewish than half an hour before. My features had not become more Mediterranean-Semitic. My frame of reference had not suddenly been filled by magic power with Hebrew allusions. The Christmas tree had not wondrously transformed itself into the seven-branched candelabra. If the sentence that society had passed on me had a tangible meaning, it could only be that henceforth I was a quarry of death. Well, sooner or later it claims all of us, but the Jew, and I now was one by decree of law and society, was more firmly promised to death, already in the midst of life. His days were a period of false grace that could be revoked at any second. I do not believe that I am inadmissibly projecting Auschwitz and the Final Solution back to 1935 when I advance these thoughts today. Rather, I am certain that in that year, at that moment when I read the laws, I did indeed already hear the death threat. Better, the death sentence.
A combination of three bases, a so-called basic triplet or codon, provides the required number of at least 20 code words, namely 4 to the power of 3, making 64. The number of possible triplets thus exceeds the number of the amino acids to be coded by far. However, it was discovered that almost all amino acids do not just have one code word, but two or more. Each triplet, on the other hand, encodes just one amino acid.
To be a Jew, that meant for me, from this moment on, to be a dead man, on leave, someone to be murdered, who only by chance was not yet where he properly belonged. And so it has remained, in many variations, and various degrees of intensity, until today. The death threat, which I felt for the first time with complete clarity while reading the Nuremberg Laws, included what is commonly referred to as the methodical degradation of the Jews by the Nazis. Formulated differently, the denial of human dignity sounded the death threat.
Each triplet, on the other hand, encodes just one amino acid. Alanine, GCU, GCC, GCA, GCG. Arginine, CGU, CGC, CGA, CGG, AGA, AGG. Asparagine, AAU, AAC. Aspartic acid, GAU, GAC. Glutamine, CAA, CAG. Glutamic acid, GAA, GAG. Glycine, GGU, GGC, GGA, GGG.
We were not worthy of love, and thus also not of life. Our sole right, our sole duty was to disappear from the face of the earth.
Histidine, CAU, CAC. Isoleucine, AUA, AUC, AUU.
The degradation proceedings directed against us Jews, which began with the proclamation of the Nuremberg Laws, and as a direct result led all the way to Treblinka, met on my side with an equivalent proceeding aimed at the reattainment of dignity. For me, until today, this case is not closed. Let me endeavor to gain clarity concerning its stages and its preliminary result be recorded here. One can try to answer by inverting the above formulated identification of degradation and death threat. If it was correct that the deprivation of dignity was nothing other than the potential deprivation of life, then dignity would have to be the right to live. If it was also correct when I said that the granting and depriving of dignity are acts of social agreement, sentences against which there is no appeal on the grounds of one's self-understanding, so that it would be senseless to argue against the social body that deprives us of our dignity with the claim that we do indeed feel worthy. If all of this were valid, then every effort to regain our dignity would have been of no value, and it would still be so today. Degradation, that is, living under the threat of death, would be an inescapable fate. But luckily, things are not entirely the way this logic claims. It is certainly true that dignity can be bestowed only by society, whether it be the dignity of some office, a professional, or, very generally speaking, civil dignity, and the merely individual, subjective claim, "I am a human being, and as such I have my dignity, no matter what you may do or say," is an empty academic game, or madness. Still, the degraded person threatened with death is able, and here we break through the logic of the final sentencing, to convince society of his dignity by taking his fate upon himself and at the same time rising in revolt against it.
Each triplet, on the other hand, encodes just one amino acid. Leucine, C-U-U, C-U-C, C-U-A, C-U-G, U-U-G, U-U-A. Lysine, A-A-A, A-A-G. Methionine, AUG. Phenylalanine, UUU, UUC. Proline, CCU, CCC, CCA, CCG. Serine, UCU, UCC, UCA, UCG, AGU, AGC. Threonine, ACU, ACC, ACA, ACG. Tryptophan, UGG. Tyrosine, UAU, UAC. Valine, GUU, GUC, GUA, GUG.
The reattainment of dignity, just as urgent as in the previous years of war and National Socialism, but now in a climate of perceptive peace, infinitely more difficult, remained a compulsion and desire. Except that I had to recognize even more clearly that in the days when physical revolt was at least possible, that I was confronted with necessity and impossibility. At this point I must stop for a moment and separate myself from all those Jews who do not speak from the realm of my own experience. This impossibility does not apply to all is obvious. That this impossibility does not apply to all is obvious. I can speak solely for myself, and even if with caution, for contemporaries, probably numbering into the millions, who whose being Jewish burst upon them with elemental force, and who must stand this test without God, without history, without messianic national hope, for them, for me. Being a Jew means feeling the tragedy of yesterday as an inner oppression. On my left forearm, I bear the Auschwitz number. It reads more briefly than the Pentateuch or the Talmud, and yet provides more thorough information. It is also more binding as a basic formula of Jewish existence. If to myself and the world, including the religious and nationally minded Jews who do not regard me as one of their own, I say, I am a Jew, then I mean by that those realities and possibilities that are summed up in the Auschwitz number.